Welcome to Focal Point Podcast. I'm Kobe Roseman.
I'm Davis Bailey.
So today we're going to talk a little bit about columns. And we're going to get a little bit behind the columns, talk a little bit about why Davis and I like writing them so much, and some of our favorite columns that we've written, and why they've been so meaningful for us in just our journalism career in general. But first, we'll talk a little bit about just writing columns in general. Like,
So columns are really one of the most important parts of the paper, because it's really the one of the only parts of the paper where we can really share our personal experiences beyond just what we're reporting on.
Yeah.
So it can be something that ties into an event that either we're reporting on or is in the national news. And it could be something that, like, hey, this is going on, this is getting a lot of media coverage, and this is a kind of experience we've had that brings that down to earth and makes that on our personal level. Or it can just be a funny story or a lesson we've learned throughout our daily lives, and something that I think is really important to share with our greater community.
For sure. And another part of that is just, I love the writing style of columns, because you can get really creative and kind of, you know, play with words in weird ways that conveys your message in the best way possible.
It's really special to have that opportunity to broadcast kind of your writing and your experiences through the paper that we're really thankful for in being able to write columns.
Okay, so I'll talk about one of my most recent ones that I wrote, and that was the title of it was "And Now I Hear the Nazis Are Back." So the situation in this column was essentially my grandma texted me, and she said, "I'm visiting a friend named Irma," and Irma lives like right next to my house, and like my sister had been there before, so I knew who she was talking about, and my grandma like wanted me to come with her and visit her, and she's the oldest living Holocaust survivor in Dallas. So I went to her house and met with her and heard her crazy story, which, you know, involves, you know, concentration camps and being separated from her family, etc. And it was really humbling to hear her story. But then kind of this moment towards the end of it, she says, you know, and this was like a week after Charlottesville, and she said, "And now I hear the Nazis are back." Mm-hmm. And like, that kind of just made me realize, you know, it doesn't really matter that whether or not it's, you know, 100 Nazis or it's the tons of them that were during World War II. I just realized, you know, regardless of the fact that Nazis are on the news, that's a problem. And the fact that this woman has seen, you know, it come full circle, like, that's just really scary and kind of haunting.
And something that we don't talk about a lot is our cover story was the Charlottesville incidents, and having a personal experience like that makes the coverage and makes writing the story all the more meaningful to you, and I feel like you can write such a better story after having that emotional experience behind it.
Yeah, for sure.
One of my favorite columns I've written in the past year has been one that it kind of chronicled my experience of working a summer job. So this summer I actually worked at
Davis is a brick specialist.
I was a brick specialist at a Lego store at North Park Mall. And it wasn't the most glamorous job. I picked up a lot of Legos off the floor, but I also had some interesting experiences. And this was one that kind of started as a funny experience, but then a couple weeks later, I realized really the impact I had and the serious tone of it. And what had happened was I had been working just a normal day at the Lego store. The day before, someone had pushed off a big, huge display model from the counter, and I had to really just piece it all back together. So I was not in a great mood at the Lego store, but a kid walked in. It was an empty store. A kid walked in, probably 7 years old, just like holding his mom's hand, like for dear life. He was probably one of the skinniest 7 year olds I'd ever seen. And I walked up to him and asked him what he was doing, what he came in for today. And he said, "Oh, my name's Henry with an H." And I kind of thought, well, how else are you going to spell Henry?
Yeah.
But he was like, "Yeah, it's my birthday today, and I really want something cool." So I took him around the store, and we found something that he wanted. And I carried it over to the counter and gave it to my manager, who checked his mom out. And for his birthday, we let anybody whose birthday it is in the Lego store make a little free Lego person. So I walked over there, and he wanted to make a doctor. And I thought, that's cool. So we put together all the pieces for a little Lego doctor, and I was talking to him. And eventually his mom said, "Oh, Henry, it's time to go. We've got to go." And he said bye and gave me a high five and walked out. And I thought kind of that was the end of that. It was kind of just a normal customer experience at the store. But then a week later, I got a letter in the mail to the store that I opened when I got there for work that day. And it was from this lady named Rebecca. And I didn't know any Rebeccas, so I thought it was just a random piece of mail that was misaddressed. Yeah. But it said, "Dear Davis, this is I'm Rebecca. My son and I, Henry, were in the store about a week ago, and I just was writing to you about an experience I had. My son has this rare autoimmune disorder that means he can't leave the house very often, only on birthdays and special occasions. And today he wanted to go to the Lego store. And so she said that he never gets to leave the house, and that seeing him play with me while we were making that doctor is the first time that she'd seen her 7-year-old really be a 7-year-old wow. since all these treatments. And it kind of showed me that even though you might not think it at the time, every interaction you have with somebody has the power to really change their life and have such a positive yeah. impact on their life. So yeah. it kind of gave me some perspective on the impact we can have just in our daily lives.
Right. That's crazy. And didn't you say that like your grandpa sent the column?
Yeah, my grandfather actually cut out the column from the newspaper and mailed it into Lego Corporate.
That's so awesome.
Like in Denmark. I don't know how it got there already. But then I got a letter back in the mail, and it was saying, like, Davis, like, we're very proud of you for carrying forward the company's mission. Like, this is yeah. a great thing, addressed from some like executive at Lego.
Dang, that's so,
so
cool.
So it kind of shows you the power and the impact you have sharing this story to other people. And yeah. I've had teachers and students come up to me about it, but it's a really good feeling to know that you've made an impact in someone's life.
Yeah, that's really cool. I thought that column just spoke really well to your personality too, which, I mean, that's my favorite part of columns, is when like you can really hear someone's voice and their right. perspective on an issue or just an experience in general. Mm-hmm. So another probably my favorite column that I've ever written was actually last year. Sometime I think in March or April of last year, but I wrote a column on essentially my mom. But this was kind of a, I don't know, it was a little bit of a different column, just in that I kind of paired it with my experience, with, my car and how, you know, people had kind of teased me before on yeah. like on the Subaru, and they said like, you know, like that car is like feminine, which is just kind of like a funny thing that people had done. But I kind of paired it with this experience that I had with my mom in that essentially, we were about to get rid of the car and I was going to get a new one. And instead what ended up happening was, my parents bought my car and rather than leasing it. And so now that's my permanent car. But I kind of reflected on an experience with her where essentially I kind of was being a bratty teenager, and kind of in the same way that, you know, moms and sons kind of conflict. I had this experience with my mom and she kind of broke down, and, I kind of, you know, reflected in the column that, you know, she has to just be such a hard worker, and she doesn't have time to kind of cry and, you know, break down in that sense. So that was kind of my way of kind of a testimony to the mom son relationship. And it was just kind of exciting to see, a lot of people, you know, send my mom notes and stuff like that, just saying like, wow, this is a good testimony just to.
And I feel like the process of writing that down really lets you take that lesson to heart.
Yeah,
because you
sure.
I don't think you really fully comprehend it until you've written it down, until you've wrestled with it and thought like, wow, this is really what I took away from this
yeah.
situation.
And what would have normally been just, you know, a fight between, you know, a mom and a son over something kind of silly, now is something that I look back on and I think about the column and I think about how, you know, I really internalized that experience, and not just, you know, this was a fight and we got over it, and, you know, this is our relationship now, it's better, yada, yada. But, you know, that's really just kind of a way to encapsulate, you know, the moment, encapsulate my thoughts and on that experience. So, yeah.
And columns don't always have to be kind of a reflective. You don't always have to have the event and then reflect on it in the column.
Right.
It can just be a storytelling of an event. And something that I wrote about most recently was relating to the church shootings that we had mm-hmm. in Texas recently
yeah.
that kind of really scared all of us, I think. And then kind of while that was just, that tone was in the air, I had gone to church one day, and I was sitting in the pew, and kind of the back doors of the sanctuary opened, and this guy walks in, and his combat boots are squeaking on the ground, and he's dressed in all dark clothing, and he's got a mask on, he's got his hands in his pockets. And instead of thinking like, oh, this is just kind of like a different guy walking into church, like my mind, and I'm sure everyone else in the sanctuary's mind, went straight to like, oh my gosh, this is a copycat church shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of in the moment, I didn't think about it, but it showed me the fact that like, even though I was in a church, I was in somewhere that should be a real like place of sanctitude and safety.
Yeah.
My thoughts immediately went to like, my own safety, like what's gonna happen
right.
here. And in the column I tell the story of how Everyone basically stopped looking at the preacher. And I don't think the preacher saw what was going on, but he kept preaching through, and everyone turned around, and he basically was preaching to the back of our heads. And we watched this guy basically walk in and step into a pew and just didn't sit down, and he stayed standing up. And I thought, like, oh, like, what can I do? Where can I go? Where am I going to crawl under and be okay? And one of the police officers who's always at the back of the church basically walked up next to him and just stood there with him while this guy, like, visibly started to cry, and eventually sat down with him while we were singing this hymn. And I didn't know it at the time of writing it, but later on I figured out that this guy, his parents had actually died in a car crash one or two weeks earlier, and he had never been to church, and this was kind of his he wore the mask because he wasn't comfortable going out there and being like this. He's never been to church before, but he went and kind of let his emotions overtake him. And in the process of that police officer showing him that care over there and sitting down with him, he now comes every single week and has completely turned his life around. And it shows you that, like, even though we live in such a violent, militant world, really the most powerful thing, I think, is love and caring and showing understanding and compassion to others.
For sure. I think political columns are they're just a different beast in itself, because, you know, you never want to just come across as preachy, I guess is the right word for it, because, you know, it's not really going to be interesting for any viewer who might conflict your political views to kind of hear you just say, this is what I believe in, and this is why you should believe me. But
it's just so much more productive to write an experience you have and let the reader take their own conclusion from it politically.
Yeah, because when you have, for example, like my column with the Holocaust survivor, you know, it's not me taking any stance on that issue, but it's just saying, this is one experience I had, and just this one anecdote you can look at.
And you don't shove your message down the reader's throats, you let them draw their conclusion from
it. For sure. That's a little bit on column writing. This has been Focal Point Podcast. I'm Kobe Roseman.
I'm Davis Bailey.